And we're joined now live by one of the members who was on that delegation. Judy Chu represents a big chunk of the Los Angeles area in the House of Representatives. She is a Democrat. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. First off, why don't you start by telling us what you saw inside that facility?
Well, we went to two border facilities. We went to the El Paso Border Patrol Station and the Clint Border Patrol Station. In El Paso, we immediately saw women in their cells. There were three cells, and they each had about 15 women. The Border Patrol superiors did not want us to talk to them, but we talked to them anyway. And as soon as we entered their cells and they realized who we were, tears were coming down their faces as we were talking about their conditions. They did not know when they were going to leave. Most had been there over 50 days. Many of them had been separated from their children. They said that they did not get medications. One person had epilepsy but could not get it. And another had an aneurysm and did not get that medication. And they all complained about not having running water. And in fact, one woman told Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that the Border Patrol agent had told her if she wants water, then she should just drink from the toilet. We also looked at the tent cities there in which the women were housed. And apparently they had temporarily move them from those tent cities, which we had found disturbing, and move them into these cells for the day.
Temporarily move them, presumably in advance of your delegation visiting.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we went to the Clint Border Patrol Station, which is where the controversy hit the national news, and they similarly tried to sanitize us. There were as many as 700 children there at one time. When we got there, there was a magically low number of 25. And they showed us all their supplies, the toothbrushes, the food, the soap, and were very insistent on showing how much they had for the children. But we were able to see disturbing things. The warehouse where over 100 children were housed, it was like a gigantic steel shed and had no air conditioning at the time. This isn't a place where temperatures frequently get to over 100 degrees. We saw the cells where the children were so crowded into spaces made for one-third the number of children. But the most disturbing thing is that when we asked them about all the conditions that the children had faced, where they had not been able to clean themselves for a month, and where toddlers were without diapers, were relieving themselves in their pants, and where their clothes were caked with snot and tears. They said none of it was true. And in fact, they blamed the children. They showed us the toothbrushes, and they said, well, the toothbrushes are here. If they weren't brushing their teeth, that's basically their problem. Well, I think 60 children do not lie. The lawyers that had come in the previous visit had interviewed 60 children, and they said that to a child, every single one said the same thing about the dirty conditions, about the lack of food, about the inability to access the toothbrushes and showers. And so they clearly tried to sanitize it.
So who was speaking to you on behalf of Border Patrol? Like what level officer? Was it their public information staff?
No, it was the supervisor that was in charge of the facility. And of course, they had that their entire upper level staff there.
And you're saying that person was flat out lying?
He denied that anything in those reports were true, and only acknowledged that if it was true, then it was the fault of the children for not taking advantage of the showers and the toothbrushes and the soap that was actually there.
I know what the consequences are for lying to Congress under oath. What are the consequences for lying to Congress on a fact-finding mission?
Well, it is very disturbing. It was clearly not true. And we muttered to ourselves that this is just their advertising campaign. But you know what? We were not surprised, because we were confronted with the news just that morning about this secret Facebook page of the Customs and Border Patrol agents, which has a membership of 9,500 agents, and there are 20,000 agents in all, so it's less than half of them. And it laughed at the deaths of immigrants. It said that they wanted to throw burritos at us because they knew that we were coming. And it denigrated Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with disgusting images. So this is the mentality that's out there. And if this is how they feel about members of Congress, then you can imagine how they feel about the migrants.
That investigative report up at ProPublica.org put out by A.C. Thompson, we're going to speak to him in tomorrow's show about his work and another report he has coming out today. Representative Judy Chu, this gets to not just bad apples or a slip up at one facility, but if you have close to 10,000 members of a federal law enforcement agency openly denigrating people in their custody they're supposed to protect, and members of Congress who are supposed to provide oversight, you have a democracy problem. What do you think Congress should do about it?
Well, I would join my members in saying that those who are responsible for that Facebook page need to be fired. But I also think that there has to be accountability for those at the upper levels, because they're allowing this to happen. And we have to bring those responsible for this into oversight hearings in Congress, and we have to hold them accountable. We also have to keep on pressing on the things that we were asking for in the House bill on the border supplemental money. This was a vote that we took just as we left Congress last week. And we were saying that in that bill, there should be standards for medical care and emergencies, nutrition, hygiene, and facilities, and personal training for the guards. This is common sense. And yet that was not in the Senate bill. It is also not the standard that is required of CBP for these Border Patrol stations. And yet that is what is needed, just fundamental standards for how these migrants are being treated.
You voted no on the final version of the bill, the Senate bill, when it came back to the House. That's what got signed into law. What took it over the threshold for you?
It did not have these provisions. These are common sense provisions, but the Senate didn't want to have restrictions on it. And another restriction is that the money that is designated in the bill can only be used for the purposes described in the bill. In other words, that they cannot take it and use it to deport migrants from the inner parts of America. The other really important thing that is in the bill is that there can be an unannounced visits by Congress at any point in time. Because as I described to you, CBP is pretty adept at sanitizing the situation. And what is really important is to have us be able to come in there at any point in time and be able to see for ourselves what is really going on before they move all the migrants away and segregate them, and before they are able to replenish their supplies. We want to be able to see what is really going on right as it's happening.
Have you and your staff been able to find out anything about where the children who were at the Clint detention facility prior to your arrival, where they were moved to?
They were very obtuse about it, but they, in fact, claimed that the numbers were only 25 at that time because the number of people that had crossed the border had gotten so low. Well, of course, then that raised the red flag for me, because why were they asking for all this supplemental money? We allocated $4.5 billion for them, and they claimed that this was an emergency situation at the border. So that money was allocated. And there were only 25 there, and they claimed that it was because there were so few that had come in. That makes no sense.
Speaking of Representative Judy Chu, she represents California's 27th congressional district, that is in the Los Angeles area. Judy Chu, I want to return to the question of what you do with Customs and Border Protection in the wake of this ProPublica report, because I think this is a concept that has come up before with talk in some quarters of the party of abolition of ICE. There is an argument that a law enforcement agency's culture can get so rotten it effectively becomes a rogue agency, that it's not subject to the kind of civilian guardrails that Congress is supposed to impose. Better to crumple it up, toss it out, and start over with something different. Like, well, what is the threshold for going in wholesale to an agency like CPB and cleaning it out?
Well, the Facebook page is very disturbing. And if it is indeed true that nearly half of the CBP agents have this mentality, then we really have to consider that. I do think that there is, however, going to always be a need for some kind of agency that does this. But how far do you go as far as the overhaul? I do think that an overhaul is needed, because this is disturbing. Laughing at migrants' deaths and not caring at all about the welfare of these children, this is not right. And the people who are in charge of this agency need to be held accountable.
Border Patrol head Carla Provost says she's going to have an investigation. People will be held accountable. Are you satisfied with that?
Well, it remains to be seen how they are held accountable. So I want to see big changes occur. I want to see changes in the conditions for these migrants. And I just have to think that there is even a deliberate policy of making the conditions in these centers as horrendous as possible, as their own mentality for how they're going to stop migrants from coming in. Because there are things that they can do, and it's clearly within their purview, to be able to make these supplies and the food available to the migrants and to make the situation more comfortable for them. And also to provide medications other than ibuprofen, which seems to be their medication of choice. But they are not doing it. So we have to see change in the actual conditions of the migrants themselves. And we, the Congress members, need to have the ability to come in and see what's going on unannounced.
Finally, Representative Chu, one of the reasons we're having you on is because the press conference that your delegation had organized to debrief after touring these two border detention facilities run by Border Patrol was drowned out by a counter protest of Trump demonstrators. Like, literally what you all were saying was inaudible through the feed that we were watching over. Can you describe what that was like?
It was chaotic and disturbing. We had serious business to do in terms of our oversight responsibilities for these Border Patrol stations, but these counter-protesters had gotten notice of what we were doing and had come. They were clearly Trump supporters and basically were echoing everything that he says about the border, and in fact had their Make America Great hats on in force. So yes, their whole purpose for being there was to drown us out, and they were screaming and yelling as we were talking about these very serious issues.
You said they had gotten notice about what you were doing. Do you think it was people inside Customs and Border Protection cueing them on where to show up and make noise?
Well, this is a very interesting point, because the CBP supervisor said that nobody was supposed to know that we were coming for our oversight hearing. But clearly, those CBP agents on that Facebook page knew, because they said that they were going to throw burritos at us as we were going through. So they got the information. It's very clear also that these Trump supporters also got the information. Where it came from, I do not know.
What are you doing next, Judy Chu?
I am going to be talking about what we saw all day today to various media outlets. And then when we come back, we are going to put our heads together as to how we can get these provisions that were denied by the passage of the Senate bill, which did not include the provisions that we fought so hard for in the House bill. And we are going to push as far as we can to make sure that there is those provisions so that at least we can treat these migrants humanely and at least they can have their claim for asylum heard.
All right. Representative Chu, thank you so much for making time to speak to us this morning.
Thank you.
Representative Judy Chu is a Democrat. She serves as U.S. Representative for California's 27th Congressional District. That is in Southern California in the Los Angeles area. There are nationwide Close the Camps demonstrations planned for today at local congressional offices at 12 p.m. in each time zone. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, there will be one at Senator Dianne Feinstein's San Francisco office at One Post Plaza. At 5:30 p.m., there will be another protest at the 580 freeway overpass at 23rd Avenue in Oakland. Also separately, inland in Walnut Creek at 5:30 p.m. at the corner of Ignacio Valley Road and North Civic Drive. And at 12 o'clock noon in Palo Alto at the intersection of Embarcadero and El Camino Real. Again, nationwide Close the Camps demonstrations. Full details and a map of actions are available at moveon.org. That takes us to 7:29 in the morning. The program's up front. My name is Brian Edwards Tiegert. We're going to journey past the border in just a few minutes and take a look at what's happening in Honduras, which just marked the 10-year anniversary of the coup that ousted center-left President Manuel Zelaya and precipitated much of the political and social dissolution behind the waves of migrants heading towards the U.S. border today. We'll speak to Zenaida Velazquez, a Honduran human rights activist and one of the founders of the Committee of Relatives of the Disappeared in Honduras, or COFADE. That is coming up next after the news.